Open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. The title of my message today will be Following God Despite Uncertainty. To friends and family and faculty, I just want to say thank you. You've helped me in many ways, and it would take way too long to list all of those ways. You live in a world of absolutes. The sky is blue, lying is wrong, and God exists. You live in a world where God rewards the righteous and wise, but punishes the wicked and foolish. However, there are kinks in this system. A foolish man may live a long, happy life, and a righteous man may die in his prime. Moreover, the fact that the Christian must die at all is shocking and does not seem to be just. The Christian is godly. Why is he not rewarded for his righteousness? This and many other observations are what the preacher of the book of Ecclesiastes calls vanity. The word translated vanity at its core means vapor. Throughout the Bible, it has multiple meanings depending on its context. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, it takes this word and, depending on this context, often uses it to indicate something that is either paradoxical or enigmatic. The preacher is analyzing life under the sun, and he notices that the absolutes he knows exist do not always happen the way he would expect. The wise are not always successful. The swift do not always win the race. Time leaves our efforts behind. Righteousness does not guarantee reward, and death comes as the equalizer of all men. By analyzing life in this way, the book of Ecclesiastes is in dialogue with the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is the book that states the absolutes of God's justice and the benefits of righteous living. The book of Ecclesiastes comes along to remind you that life is not always that clear-cut. Proverbs is a book of proverbs, not promises. It shows what is the usual framework of existence, but not the exception to these rules. Ecclesiastes points out that good things do not always come to those who fear God and live wisely. It points out the chaotic uncertainty of our world so that you may overcome some dangerous assumptions that believers often make. You will often find yourself assuming that God guarantees that if you do your will, good things ought to happen, and when they do not, you may find yourself believing that God has abandoned you or become unjust or that you have sinned in some way. Ecclesiastes is meant to remind you that under the sun, God does not guarantee success or security from suffering. God does not guarantee that righteousness increases your odds. God does guarantee that righteousness increases your odds for a better life. And that regardless of the outcome of life, righteous living ought to be your mode of existence. This book and this chapter especially exist to remind you that since you are not God, you do not have the power to rig life in your favor, and you ought not try it. In our lives outside the Garden of Eden and before the rapture, chaos abounds. How are you to live in this chaotic world where events do not always seem to line up the way you would expect? How are you to live in a world where you cannot guarantee a good outcome or control the circumstances of your life? You must accept the chaos of life. And how is this to be done? The preacher points out several ways you can do this in his book, but today I want to focus on one. You must follow God, even if you cannot guarantee a good outcome under the sun. This is where Ecclesiastes 11:1 through 12:1 enters the picture. We'll read to verse 8 for right now. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7, and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is a child, even so thou knowest not the works of God, who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether it shall prosper, either this or that, or that they both shall alike be good. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years, and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. So the first thing I want you guys to see is, first, you must take risks. Quote, We choose to go to the moon, not because it is easy, but because it is hard. Unquote. President Kennedy made this statement on September 12, 1962, when the United States government chose to take a massive risk, race the Soviet Union to the moon. Through trial and error and even tragedy, the United States eventually beat the Soviet Union in the space race by becoming the first nation to put a man on the moon on July 20th, 1969. What if the U.S. had never taken this risk? You might be living in a different world today. How about a biblical example? Abraham had to leave his home country and go to a place about which he did not know. All he had was the promise of God. He took a risk and God rewarded him. Abraham was not perfect. The way was not always clear, nor was it always safe, but it was the right thing for Abraham to do. You live in a world where risk-taking is unavoidable. Life is a risk-taking venture. You took a risk in coming to this school. Most of you were completely unaware of how you would pay the school bill, and some of you still are. You took a risk even getting out of bed this morning. You did not know what might happen today. When it comes to life, you cannot waste time and resources worrying about what might happen if the wind were suddenly to blow. Quote, he that regards the wind will not sow, unquote. Living a righteous life is taking a risk. By trusting God, you are risking everything you are and have on Him, hoping that He will sustain you. Abraham took a risk in leaving the rich, well-to-do city of Chaldean city of Ur, and you took a risk coming to this school. You will take a risk in pursuing God's plan for your life. And you cannot guarantee that it will go perfectly or safely in every instance. There is only one perfect man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and you are not Him. In your pursuit of God, you will make mistakes. That is life under the sun. In your pursuit of God, you will face the chaos this world has to offer. No one is exempt from this. However, God will reward the risk at some point, if not in this life, then in the life to come. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Therefore, part of trusting God is taking that risky first step into His will for your life, even though He has not told you how it will go or guaranteed that it will work out. God does not lay out every step that is in front of you right now. God does not always give you a red brick road to follow. He rarely rolls out the red carpet before you step out. Part of trusting God is accepting that He will often ask you to step out into a risk, even though you're not entirely sure every step He has for you. Abraham left Ur completely clueless as to where he was going. God led Abraham as he stepped out in faith. This is life. You will not know what life will be like 20 years from now, and realistically, you don't know what the rest of today holds. Following God is a step-by-step process without guardrails. You had to take off the training wheels to learn bike riding. Why do you expect God to give your whole life's plan to you right now with guarantees of safety and no falls? Is that really trusting God? Moreover, you cannot predict the future. You are not God, and you do not get to know what will happen if you take a course of action. You can get a general idea of what may happen if you commit to an act, but you do not know what will happen. On the road of life, you are not to know everything. That would be a burden too great for you to bear. Part of the adventure of life is learning as you go. If God gave you your entire life story right now, you wouldn't want to take the next step, and it would be quite boring. You don't like spoilers for new movies. Why do you want them in life? Life is facing uncertainty and living in spite of it. Being afraid of what might happen and refusing to take a step until you know for sure it will go well is fear, not faith. If there is an example in the Bible of how not to trust God, Gideon would be that guy. Following his example of being given a direct order by God to deliver Israel and going, God, I'm going to need two signs to be sure, even though the angel of Yahweh just clearly just spoke to me, is a recipe for disaster. He died leading Israel into worshiping an ephod he himself made. That is what faithless fear will do for your life. Take the risk, step out, and trust God. Now, some of you may be reacting to this in one of two ways. Yes! I'm going to take stupid risks without caring about the consequences. Or, that's not my worldview. I'll just wait for all of eternity until God gives me the next step, 100% laid out and clear, and 100% safe, with no chance of failure whatsoever. Both attitudes are extremes on this pendulum. Balance is the key to this. So number two, we'll see, take wise risk. Let's look at verse 9 through 12, 1. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Just because wisdom does not guarantee reward or success does not mean it is useless. If you make a foolish decision, you will smart for it for the rest of your life, and there are no time machines to fix that mistake. If you refuse to make a decision, you will waste your life and always wonder what might have been. It is wise to be neither too cautious nor too careless. Balance is one of the keys to a good life. Find it and keep it. The key to risk-taking is having the wisdom to know when, where, why, how, and who. This requires knowing biblical principles, having wise counselors, and trusting God. Wise counselors are people who are known for giving wise advice most of the time. Going to a freshman for wisdom is never a good idea. Seek the counsel of wise men and women who know you and know God. Seek the advice of an elder because they have experienced a lot more than you have. Seek biblical principles. Ultimately, however, you do have to take the plunge. If God is pressing something on your heart and it is clearly Him, do it. Do not wait until He paints it in the clouds. Do not wait until He promises you a security blanket of guaranteed success with no pain whatsoever. He rarely ever does. If you have no idea where you're going, you're in good company with Abraham, Joseph, and Paul. Whether it is relationships, vocation, school bills, or anything else, you must trust God and take the plunge. Again, be wise. Make certain that you can back up your choice with Scripture and counsel. As Ben Shapiro says, quote, facts don't care about your feelings, unquote. If it feels good, do it. Even the Christianese version feels right, feels like something God wants me to do. It's a horrible way to live. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. For the sake of the people to whom you will minister, remember that God will judge you for your decisions. Often that judgment is God allowing you to have what you desired. If you desire folly, you'll get as much of it as you can handle. If you desire wisdom, you'll get much of that too. But eventually, you must take the plunge. Make sure of the timing and wisdom of a decision. Do not shout YOLO and plunge into something. It often ends poorly. Abraham and Sarah did this with Hagar and Ishmael happened. Unless you want to have a story like that in your life, I would suggest that you refuse to do something rash. So thirdly, let's see, fearing God. Go to the end of chapter 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So what does all this have to do with living righteously despite the chaotic nature of life? Part of living righteously is trusting God when He calls you to take a task. Part of living righteously is discerning when it's God's calling or that burrito you ate last night messing with you. If God has called you to do something and you can prove it to an extent, do it. Moreover, to follow God gives you a better chance at life than to reject Him. Regardless of the outcome, you will be glad that you followed Him. Justice is still an absolute despite the kinks in the system. If you are at a point of decision and you are unsure what to do, seek wisdom, but make a choice. You cannot give up on life. The static life may seem like the safest one, but even a couch potato faces uncertainty and chaos. If you're looking for a spouse, unsure of what God's calling you to do, paying your school bill, improving your character, or wrestling with God as He changes your plans, fear Him and take the plunge. So finally, in every story, the hero must choose a course of action. Some of my favorite stories are stories in which the hero must take a staff despite the hopelessness and futility, seeming futility of the quest. The heroes in the story go into the situation knowing that it may not end positively, but they know that they must commit to their act. Whether this is Frodo taking the ring to Mordor, Robinson Crusoe striving to survive on the island, or Horton the elephant protecting the Whos because he said what he meant and he meant what he said. And Elephant is faithful 100%. Each of these characters did the right thing despite the possible risk of failure or pain. These characters and many others could have refused these tasks because they had no certainty of a positive outcome, but they did the right thing. They took the plunge. These characters took wise risks, and in the end, it worked out. If fictional characters can take risks, knowing the uncertainty of the quest, you can follow God into the unknown with more certainty. You are casting yourselves into the arms of the all-sufficient God, and He does not fail. Even if events do not work out the way you would like, you can know that God is still with you and will reward you for doing the right thing. God will use the step He is asking you to take for your benefit. It may feel like God is asking you to leap off a cliff to your death, but God will be with you all along the way. So live righteously in the fear of the Lord, no matter what happens. Take wise risks. Feel the wind in your face. And thank God for every moment of life. Life, even with the chaos, is a gift. Gifts should be used wisely, but they should still be used. Life is not the ugly tie you got from that strange relative that you quickly shoved into a safe place. Life is meant to be lived. The fear of God is meant to be a part of your life, even if you cannot guarantee positive outcomes. So, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.